Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just tuned in to the John Jacob Schmidt Show at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and I'm proud to be your host tonight. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and it's great to be back with you all again after a much-needed week off with the family over the 4th of July. That's why we didn't broadcast last Sunday. It was so good to recharge the batteries, but boy, did I pay for it when I got back. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to put a show together in time for this week. I have no idea how many emails I had when I got back, a ton. And new American Redoubt Network members, welcome. I got almost all of them knocked out, but I still have 5 or 6 to do, so I haven't forgotten about you. You didn't fall through the cracks, and there's still a few of you I need to email back. And you've been waiting patiently for a response, and I'll be getting to those. The American Redoubt Network is growing and building momentum. I just wanted to take a minute to extend a warm welcome to our newest ARN members from Idaho, Oregon, Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Ohio, Utah, and Virginia, as well as multiple new members from Washington State, California, Iowa, and the Republic of Texas, what I affectionately refer to as the Texas Redoubt. I really had a great time this week. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been all over the American Redoubt. I got to meet a couple Redoubters and ran into some Redoubters that didn't even know they were Redoubters. At least they didn't call themselves Redoubters, but they are. I'll talk about that a little more in the next segment. First, though, the news. News and commentary this week to help you maintain situational awareness of current events that could affect you directly or indirectly. This segment is sponsored by CampingSurvival.com, your camping and survival resources for any situation, anytime, anywhere. Speaking of survival and being prepared, here's one where SurvivalCamping.com could come in handy to help keep you prepared. Did you guys hear about this one? A mile-wide area was evacuated after a freight train derailed in Columbus, Ohio, early Wednesday, causing an explosion and a fire. Rail company Norfolk Southern was working with emergency personnel to determine what cargo was on fire. According to Mike McNutt with Columbus Public Health, several of the train cars contained styrene, which, if ignited, can emanate a gas that affects the nervous system if inhaled. He says it would become a nerve agent, adding that those cars were the biggest concern in calling for the evacuation. Hazmat crews had moved those cars away from the fire, and residents in the area were asked to evacuate between 11th and 5th Avenues and North Grant Avenue, and Interstate 71. And police say the evacuees have been taken to the Rhodes Building at the fairgrounds. So they were relocated. Do you have your bug out plan in place? Something to think about. Let's see here. Speaking of disaster, Waldo Canyon fire evacuees down in outside of Colorado Springs returned to find property burglarized and vandalized. Some evacuees from the Waldo Canyon fire are returning home to find that they were burglarized. One couple's car was stolen right out of the garage. Thieves also took jewelry and computers. Waldo Canyon fire evacuee Linda Burton said, "It's almost as bad as a house burned down because you feel violated. There are people out there who prey upon victims and people that are already suffering, so I feel like I've been hit by a train." Yeah, the opportunists come out of the woodwork. And this was an isolated event. Imagine what criminals will do when something happens on a national scale, when there's no help coming from outside. Security is something you need to incorporate into your bug out plan, including securing items at your home, like not leaving the keys to your car available for thieves to steal. Throw your hard drive or other valuables in your gun safe if you can't take them with you. And another thing, this fire spread pretty quickly, but they had plenty of time to start preparing to bug out way sooner than a lot of them did. A lot of people waited until the last minute and then went into panic mode and left with basically the shirts on their backs and their smartphones. Let's see here. In international news, a treaty being hammered out this month at the United Nations, with Iran playing a key role, could expose the records of America's gun owners to foreign governments, and critics warn, eventually put the Second Amendment on global trial. International talks in New York are going on throughout July on the final wording of the so-called Arms Trade Treaty, which supporters such as Amnesty International USA say would rein in unregulated weapons that kill an estimated 1,500 people daily around the world, which is probably a fraction of the amount of people that are killed in car accidents around the world, but we're not trying to ban those. But critics, including the National Rifle Association's Wayne LaPierre, warn that the treaty would mark a major step toward the eventual erosion of the Constitution's Second Amendment gun ownership rights. Well, that's consistent with whatever all the rest of the Constitution that they're eroding. From the Dyslexic Department, all this mixed messaging about the economy. And this comes from the same source, these two stories. On one day, this was on July 2nd, Reuters reports manufacturing shrinks for the first time in 3 years. And then the very next day, they come out with factory orders higher than expected. So they're trying to tell us that the economy's bad, but it's improving, but it's really bad. And it's getting better, but it's worse than we thought. And then everybody's just confused. They get frustrated, so they just go on about their business and stop paying attention. Sometimes I wonder if it's deliberate. And while they're planning to disarm you, they're ramping things up here. Let's see. This came from Prepper Podcast News, and the article is titled DHS Praise Lord Obama and Pass the Ammo. This information was taken from FBO.gov, the website where businesses can find government contracts to keep their workers employed and fed and in their own homes. The article lists the amounts of ammunition and magazines the Department of Homeland Security is procuring annually. And the article goes on to say, if a civil war is set to brew, then they, DHS, are armed to the teeth and like a rabid animal without a moral compass to keep them in check. Now, among some of the staggering figures, these are contracts awarded to arms and ammunition companies. Let's see. Here's one, for example. The Department of Homeland Security needs 223 ammo, enhanced performance, 175 million rounds. This is the Department of Homeland Security. Let's see. There's 50 caliber BMG, full metal jacket, 12,000 rounds they had to purchase. Now, 12,000 rounds of 50 caliber machine gun ammo isn't really a lot. But they don't have 50 caliber machine guns yet. Those are for sniper rifles. 12,000 rounds of sniper ammunition is a lot of ammunition. All right, let's keep talking about the Stasi. Department of Homeland Security. Within the year or two, within the next year or two, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security will instantly know everything about your body, clothes, and luggage with a new laser-based molecular scanner fired from 164 feet, that's about 50 yards away or 50 meters, from traces of drugs or gunpowder on your clothes to what you had for breakfast or the adrenaline level in your body. Agents will be able to get any information they want without even touching you. And that sounds like a violation of Fourth Amendment, because if they don't have a warrant, they can't search you. Let's see here. Hidden government laser scanners instantly know. Yeah, there's multiple sources on this. I'm going to post a couple, like from The Blaze, from Prison Planet. just so you can go and read those for yourself. You guys probably heard about this one. President Obama usurped all available forms of communication for use and discretion of the U.S. government. Under the executive order that he signed, Assignment of National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communications Functions, Obama has enabled the executive branch to control communications under all possible under all circumstances to ensure national security, effectively manage emergencies, and improve national resilience. Radio and wired communication systems of all levels of government, the private and nonprofit sectors, and the public must inform the development of national security and emergency preparedness, communications policies, programs, and capabilities. Pfft. Yeah, right. Well, let's see. Cellular phone corporations, they released a message to their customers concerning the U.S. government's allocation of their phone communications at the whim of the president. Some of you may have gotten this. In a text message to customers, Boost Mobile said that you can receive national and local emergency alerts directly on your phone. Great. So they got a direct tap into keeping you informed with filtered information. Under the immigration, this is an interesting securing America's borders. The Obama administration has announced plans to close 9 border patrol stations across 4 states, including Texas, California, Montana, and Idaho. And this is according to CNN. According to a statement from U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the closures are part of a broader plan to reallocate resources to high-priority areas in a bid to increase efficiency. That would be a change in direction for them because they haven't been efficient yet. And not the fault of the guys on the border, it's the administration. The move will also relocate 41 border patrol officers closer to the northern and southern border. The stations to be shut down in roughly 6 months include the following American redoubt cities, Twin Falls, Idaho, and Billings, Montana. I know why they're doing this. It's not about protecting the borders. It's to reallocate resources to spy on farmers. That wouldn't surprise me. Reuters is reporting that the EPA is spying on farms and ranches from the air, snapping photos to issue fines. The expanding Leviathan state appears to be on auto drive these days. The latest example of Big Brother's overreach coming from the always intrusive Environmental Protection Agency. I wonder when they're going to slide them under DHS. Farmers around the country are complaining about the EPA flying over their property to check for alleged violations of the Clean Water Act, a practice the agency began in 2010, according to reports. Ranchers objecting to the flyovers say they don't have anything to hide, which they add is more to the point. Why is the agency spying on them? And what is the impetus? Are there so many violations of the Clean Water Act that a broke government has to spend money it doesn't have to keep an eye on farmers? The EPA says it's looking for illegal disposal of animal waste, but with no history of violations, the program becomes even more ominous. So they're reallocating drones and other surveillance resources from the borders. Now they'll probably start using them on the farmers. Speaking of farming, you guys know about Monsanto, the major corporation that's got all the ownership of all these genetically modified foods, crops. There was a rider that was slipped in to some legislation. Let me read this to you. Are biotech companies about to gain immunity from federal law? While many Americans are firing up barbecues and breaking out the sparklers to celebrate Independence Day, biotech industry executives were more likely chilling champagne to celebrate another kind of independence, immunity from federal law. That's how the article starts out. A so-called Monsanto rider quietly slipped into the multi-billion dollar fiscal year 2013 agricultural appropriations bill would require, not just allow, but require the Secretary of Agriculture to grant a temporary permit for the planting or cultivation of a genetically engineered crop, even if a federal court has ordered the planting be halted. Wow. until an environmental impact statement is completed. All the farmer or the biotech producer has to do is ask, and the questionable crops could be released into the environment where they could potentially contaminate conventional or organic crops and ultimately the nation's food supply. And of course, that's the goal, is to contaminate the nation's food supply. That way, they have absolute ownership over it, because if any of the genes from any other modified food is found in your food, they own it. Now, this article also, I wanted to run it last week, but wasn't broadcasting. I had held on to this for about a week and a half. It was sent in by a couple of you, where a Christian was fined and sentenced to 60 days in jail over an Arizona home Bible study. And this article, which came from The Blaze, and of course it was also ran on Prison Planet, says, "We've told you before about government regulations hampering home Bible studies, but this story is even more pervasive, perplexing, and complicated than the others. Michael Selman, who lives in Phoenix, Arizona, has been sentenced to a startling 60 days in jail, given a $12,180 fine, and granted 3 years probation for..." Nope, it wasn't carjacking. It was for refusing to stop hosting Bible studies at his home. Why, you ask? He is apparently in violation of the city's building code laws. City officials are claiming that he's running an operation that is reminiscent of a home church. Oh, Lord forbid. But without the required permits. So now you have to have a permit for a constitutional right. That would make it not a right. Right? Something that we're working on behind the scenes, among many other projects, we've got a team of people working on an underground church project, because many of us are concerned that this could be the future for the church in America, for the real church, not the state-approved churches that are basically gagged by their 501c3 tax-exempt status. But if you want to teach the Bible, and if it's not politically correct, a lot of people feel that we're going to be shut down as a church and as a body, as a corporate body. So anyway, we're doing some research now on home churches, and we're going to be tapping into some of our clergy who are redoubters, and we're going to be exploring a little bit more of this in the future. Because I think it's just going to be a future trend. So anyway, that's one of the things that we're working on. There's just too much of this going on. There's so many cases where we have home Bible studies that are being shut down, but they're not doing the same thing for poker night or football parties or anything else where people meet on a regular basis. They really seem to be targeting the home Bible studies and home churches. And then one day this is going to just keep progressing or deteriorating. So anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and finish up the couple more little news segments that we have. And then we're going to start talking about some of the testimony of the American Redoubt, how it is working, how it's spreading. And so stick around, and we'll be right with you, or you'll be right with us. We'll be together, and you're listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
If you serve your country either in law enforcement or in the military, and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
Okay, we're back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. And we are patriots, redoubters, preppers, and God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Thanks for being with me and sticking around. I want to pick up where we left off talking about news and commentaries, another one I was about ready to get into. And I don't talk a whole lot about the Islamic threat, although it is a very real threat, is a growing threat, and they have plans, obviously, to dominate the world. And they're doing so. We are overthrowing dictators. Never hurts my feelings to see a dictator get overthrown. But what they're replacing it with is a much more hostile foe. And that is the extremist Islamic Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda-supported type organizations. And it's taken a hold in America. It's growing at a really rapid rate. And one of the contributors to this, I believe, is our leadership, and especially the one who is occupying the White House at our nation's capital. In his first major speech last month, Mohamed Morsi, the new Egyptian president, pledged to seek the release of a notorious Egyptian terrorist from a North Carolina prison. Not long before that, a member of a designated terrorist organization, Jamaa al-Islamiyya, who also happens to be a recently elected member of the Egyptian parliament, was welcomed to Washington as part of an official delegation sponsored by the State Department. And what this story doesn't cover is the other one that ran more recently, that Mohamed Morsi was invited by President Barack Hussein Obama to come to the White House, to come to Washington, D.C., so they can shake and hug and kiss each other's cheeks and probably talk about how they're going to topple Israel. No, I just made that part up. But this is a pretty frightening trend that we're seeing. The overthrow of dictators across the Arab world and the rise of Islamists to new influence or power is forcing Washington to reassess decades-old judgments. The most important is in Egypt, where Mr. Morsi, representing the region's most powerful Islamist movement, the Muslim Brotherhood, won a close election. Now, here's another older article. The reason why I think this is something that's troubling is that we're giving terrorists access to our country. Al-Qaeda magazine, this is an older one, but Al-Qaeda magazine urges terrorists to set wildfires in Montana. Terrorists who want to strike fear in the hearts of Americans would do well to set wildfires in Montana, Al-Qaeda advises in the most recent issues of its English language magazine, Inspire. It is difficult to choose a better place other than in the valleys of Montana, where the population increases rapidly, Inspire's Al-Qaeda chef columnist writes. And of course, that was ran in the Missoulian. And you can read that over there at themissoulian.com. I'll put the link up to that one as well. Your day in religion of peace, racism, Muslims attack blacks at a U.S. high school. At Dearborn's Edsel Ford High School, where blacks were attacked by Arab Muslims because of an Arab Muslim girl who was apparently engaged in a relationship with a black student. Remember, this was the same school in which Arab Muslim students made sweatshirts praising and honoring the 9/11 attacks on America and the underwear bombing attempt by Umar Farouk Abdullah Talamalulu Booby Face, some other Arab terrorist. So these guys wearing t-shirts in their honor, and then they're attacking Americans in our high schools. So there goes Michigan. That's another place to redoubt from, falling apart. You guys want some good news? These are the top 10 most and least business-friendly states in America. Well, we didn't talk about the least, because we didn't make it. Using 51 metrics of competitiveness developed with the input from business groups, including the National Association of Manufacturers and the Council on Competitiveness, CNBC ranked each of the 50 states according to how open they are to business. And Wyoming made the list of business-friendly states. That's the top 10 states in the nation. Wyoming made it. I don't know what all their criteria was, but I know Montana has really started an aggressive campaign to lure businesses in and make it very enticing for them, and Idaho as well. Idaho is also a very business-friendly state with several moves and expansions into Idaho, including Cabela's and Buck Knives, just to name a couple, plus several other arms and ammunition manufacturers. Lots of technology businesses have been moving into the American Redoubt states as well. Now back to the not so good news. Let's see. In the economy category under business, Dr. Doom, the global economic storm I predicted is on its way. Nouriel Roubini, the economist whose dire warnings earned him the nickname Dr. Doom, said on Monday that the recent slowdowns in the U.S., Europe, and China is proof that the global perfect storm scenario he predicted is on its way. See, if you just point out the facts and say, hey, there's danger, it's coming, then you're Dr. Doom. You see, Roubini predicted that the four specific elements would come together to create the perfect global economic crisis. A stalled U.S. economy, the European Union debt crisis, a slowdown in emerging markets like China, and conflict in Iran. And all those things are coming together. Course, throw in a little bit of Syria and Djibouti and yeah. Other items of interest. There's something that was kind of interesting here that was sent in by Morgan Ryder. It's about a clip about Obama's relationship with a communist Frank Marshall Davis, and that was from Dinesh D'Souza's 2016 film. This was the name of the film, called 2016. Earlier this week, The Blaze reported that 2016, Obama's America, a documentary that is highly critical of President Obama. On Tuesday, The Hollywood Reporter secured a clip from the film showcasing an intriguing interview between King's College president and writer Dinesh D'Souza, also the narrator of the film, and George Obama, the president's half-brother. The Blaze has secured a second clip from the film. And rather than on focusing on Obama's relationship with his brother, this exclusive footage delves into the president's kinship with avowed communist Frank Marshall Davis. What's sad is in this country how low we've sunk to where the evidence is so strong of his association with known communists and terrorists, revolutionaries, that are hell-bent on destroying the United States and Americanism. How people can look the other way blows my mind. And how far we've come in just a couple of generations. There's a clip from Twilight Zone. The name of the episode was called The Fugitive. And it's this alien who's a king, and he's tired of, you know, being controlled and always all the security and stuff. So he leaves and he goes to America, to Earth. And these men in suits, they look like, you know, G-men, are hunting him down and trying to locate him and find him, and so they can bring him back. So the little girl that has befriended him is wondering, why are these men after him? What has he done wrong? So listen to what she has to say. She's trying to use deduction here to find out what has he done to possibly have warranted these G-men looking for him to take him away. So listen to this.
Ben?
Yes?
How come those men are after you? Are you a criminal?
In a way, yes.
What'd you do? Rob a bank?
No.
Kill somebody?
No.
Then you must be a communist.
No, little monkey, I'm not a communist.
Isn't that funny? So a bank robber, a murderer, and a communist, all categorically deserving of being pursued by G-men. Obviously, surely, you must be a communist then. Didn't murder somebody? You didn't rob a bank? Well, Well, you must be a communist. I mean, what other horrible thing could you possibly have done for these men to be after you? I thought that was great. And I love watching that with my kids. My youngest loves Twilight Zone. Always complaining. I wish it was in color. I'm like, no, you don't want it in color. It's got to be black and white. It's the Twilight Zone. It'll ruin it if it was in color. It would not be the same. Okay, before we take a break here at our halfway point, there was a article over at Poly Montana. I like Poly Montana. I visit the site often. It's pretty good stuff. But he writes something on here that just really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. He writes, our next president will be either Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. The difference between them is greater than day and night. If you care about America, yourself, and your family, you will vote for Mitt Romney. If you associate with any of America's Tea Parties, you will find Mitt Romney is on your side on all the issues. If you are a Ron Paul supporter, go ahead and have your last fling at the Republican convention. But then realize the primary is over. It's time to support Mitt Romney for president. Why did that bother me? This is why. Out of 300 million people in this country, it comes down to those two, with Ron Paul thrown in on the sidelines. This is all we have to choose from. That's frustrating. Because even though Mitt Romney might not be a blatant communist or a blatant socialist with communist influences, Mitt Romney is not the man to restore Americanism, period. I don't talk a lot about national politics. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Because the system is rigged. I've lost faith in it. These people are running our country into the ground, and I've said it before. We vote for Obama, you're heading for a brick wall at 120 miles an hour. You vote for Mitt Romney, you're heading toward a brick wall at 90 miles an hour. So which is better? In the end, it doesn't matter. They're doing whatever they want, however they want. They're running over the people, regardless of the will of the people. And to heck with Americanism. It's thrown to the side. Here's some facts to back it up. Human Events magazine, which is a conservative sociopolitical publication, places Mitt Romney at number 8 on the top 10 RINO list. That's Republican in name only. Number 8, Governor Mitt Romney has said, I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country. He supports civil unions and stringent gun laws. After visiting Houston, he criticized the city's aesthetics, saying, this is what happens when you don't have zoning. What's zoning? It's driven by Agenda 21. It's a globalist agenda to control people. And zoning is government control. He's also instrumental in pushing through the Massachusetts controversial 2006 Universal Health Care Plan, also known as Romney Care, and it has cost Massachusetts more than 18,000 jobs, documented, according to Suffolk University's Beacon Hill Institute, which is the conservative think tank that conducted a study on the effects of the socialized medicine bill. In fact, Romney Care was largely used as the model to build Obamacare, the piece of garbage socialist universal health care legislation that we all know and love. Even though we didn't have a clue what was in it, which is why we had to pass it so quickly so we could find out what was in it. And boy, are we finding out what's in it. And he often claims to have balanced the Massachusetts budget without raising taxes. The first part of that claim is true, but the second part is a matter of semantics. As Cato pointed out in a 2006 report, while Romney didn't raise general tax revenues, he raised various fees by $500 million and then proposed $140 million in business tax hikes by closing loopholes. His health care plan also increased spending, prompting tax increases after he left office to cover cost overruns. As governor, Romney was no friend of gun owners. In 2004, when the Clinton-era federal assault weapons ban expired, he signed a permanent one at the state level. And despite his tough talk on immigration during his last campaign, in 2005, Romney told the Boston Globe that reform along the lines that McCain proposed was reasonable, which is basically straight up amnesty. And on the environmental issues, consider this article from the Boston Globe. I'm reading, I don't speak for the scientific community, of course, Romney said, in response to the first question of the morning, but I believe the world's getting warmer. I can't prove that, but I believe, based on what I read, that the world is getting warmer. And number two, I believe that humans contribute to that. He also said he wanted to wean the country from its dependency on foreign oil by seeking alternative sources of energy. And we've seen what that's done with Obama's little charades with what, Solyndra? These other little failed solar power, wind power, these little projects that they dumped billions of dollars and this disappeared. That's alternative energy. And he said that Americans should do more to conserve. I'm told that we use almost twice as much energy per person as does a European, and more like three times as much energy as does a Japanese citizen, Romney said. We can do a lot better. There's a fundamental problem here, and that's that our so-called leaders and aspiring leaders forget this is America. This isn't Europe, and this isn't Japan. Quit comparing us to other countries. This is a sovereign union of sovereign states. Well, it used to be. It would also serve the states well to remember that fact. If you live in Montana, you don't say, this is how we should do it. Why, that's how California does it. Well, Washington State's doing such and such, so Idaho should look at it too. People are moving here to get away from California and Olympia and Seattle. There's a reason why my grandparents left Europe, because it's all screwed up. I need a break. I'll be right back. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. The foundation of most food storage programs is wheat. While in the berry, wheat stored properly lasts almost indefinitely. Just ask Pharaoh. The wheat stored in his tomb for over 2,000 years was not only nutritionally viable, it also produced an excellent crop when planted. Remember, once the wheat berries have been cracked or ground, exposing the germ, the wheat will begin to go rancid within 18 hours. If you choose to incorporate flour into your stored foods rotation, white flour is a better choice than wheat. Although nutritionally inferior, white flour has had the germ removed, thus eliminating the chance for spoilage. In the service of the king, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
If there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Redoubt, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt
on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
Welcome back. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to Radio Free Readout. I'm all better now. We really do want to be an encouragement, but it's hard with everything going on in the world, isn't it? But what's going on out there in the world? You can't ignore it. Well, you can, and a lot of people are ignoring what's going on, but like the author Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And the reality is that our nation is in danger. In fact, the existence of our nation is in danger. America is gone. And as much as we don't want to admit it, it's never coming back. Well, with what's coming to our country and the world, what's coming to our states and communities isn't something you can easily wrap your mind around. But things are going to get bad. Really, really bad. That's discouraging. The American Redoubt movement, inspired by James Rawls, his call for a move of conservative, God-fearing, liberty-loving people to the mountain states called the American Redoubt, is encouragement. It's light at the end of the tunnel. It's hope. The hope of being surrounded by like-minded patriots, redoubters, and it's happening quickly. It's been taking place for a couple decades, maybe 25, 30 years, but it's accelerating now. Why? Because people are waking up. Over the last couple weeks, I've been all over the American Redoubt, from Idaho in Coeur d'Alene, Sandpoint, Clark Fork, and Montana, from Polson to Plains, Kalispell, Libby, Noxon, and Heron, in Spokane in eastern Washington, and meeting people, random people, who don't know who I am. I stopped to air up one of my tires at a gas station in northern Idaho. And as I'm waiting for the guy in front of me who's airing up his tires, I noticed he was walking around looking for something on the ground. So I got out and asked him if he needed help finding something. Well, he was looking for his air pressure gauge. Then we just started talking, and he mentioned that he was a retired officer from the Army. And as it turned out, we'd been to a lot of the same places and had similar experiences, so we hit it off. Then out of the blue in our conversation, he said how much he loved living in the Pacific Northwest and how conservative it is. And I agreed, of course. And he said that he and his wife had been praying, and both of them felt prompted by the Lord, strongly convicted, in fact, to move to either Montana or Idaho, and that they were finally led to North Idaho. I've heard this so many times from so many people. He started talking about what's going on in the world. This was just last week on our trip out of town to go camping. He started talking about what's going on in the world and in the country, and really felt there is danger coming. He didn't know what it was. I mean, he knew the causes: societal breakdown, political unrest, a rush towards socialism and globalism, an imminent economic collapse, all these things. As far as specifically how it will all play out is anyone's guess. He's from Florida and she's from Alabama. The snowy Northwest was one of the last places they ever thought themselves that they would move to. But they felt called by the Lord. And I asked him if he'd ever heard of James Rawls from survivalblog.com. He said, no, I haven't, but you really need to be careful about these survival blogs, survivalist blogs. They can lead you astray and take your focus off what's really important, God. He said, God said, I'll provide for you. Your sandals and your clothes won't wear out. Of course, he was talking about the Israelites when they left Egypt and went into the desert on their 40-year hike to the Promised Land. Of course, he also fed them by dropping manna from the sky and flocks of birds for them to eat. And he made a massive lake from water that he busted open so they could drink. That was a pretty unique and special circumstance. Our clothes do wear out. And like Joseph and like Noah and Joseph and Mary, when they had to flee to Egypt for safety,
God is providing for us by giving us advance warning of coming danger, so we can take refuge, so we can store up for times of famine, so we can endure the storm. At least that's our hope and that's our prayer. Oh, and when we were done, he asked if he could pray for me. And he did. We did. Together. He prayed for blessing over me and my family, not having ever met me before, right there in the parking lot of a Stop and Rob. Total strangers, and in a way, not strangers at all. Pretty cool. Another couple I met, both redoubters and members of the American Redoubt Network, said the same thing. In fact, he said he had his mind set on a place on the southern edge of the American Redoubt, and when he got there, it just wasn't right. So he kept driving north, up to the panhandle of North Idaho, before finally calling his wife and saying, "You'll never guess where I'm at." And that was their home. They knew it immediately. They bought property immediately. Their family was upset, and they're still not happy about it. How could you leave us? We're all supposed to stay together here in California. But for these two redoubters and their sons, they said, "California ain't for us." They felt prompted by the Lord to make that move. One woman I ran into in western Montana a little over a week ago, she was talking to me, and of course there was a small group of people who were there, about what's going on in the world, and she mentioned how so many people are moving here for the reasons that I've mentioned. And she said, it's called the American Redoute, or the American Redoubt. And so I'm just nodding. She asked me if I'd ever heard of survivalblog.com. And it really kind of caught me off guard. I must have had a stupid look on my face. But I said, yes, I've heard of it. It was one of those awkward moments. But then after a while, I told her about Radio Free Redoubt. And she and her husband checked it out the next day. And they thought it was really cool. So I don't know, maybe we've got some new listeners out there. There's just so many of these kinds of stories, one right after another. When I was in Kalispell, I met with another patriot and also got to meet up with Pastor Chuck Baldwin for lunch. And we had a really great talk about some of the stuff going on across the country and what it could mean for us. And we talked about the American Redoubt. I didn't interview him. We just talked and ate. But I will be lining up an interview with him in the next couple weeks. So we have that to look forward to. And I need to get with James Rawls too and set up an interview with him too to get some updates and some insight on some of the intel briefs for things going on and some of the other American Redoubt news and prepper news. I've gotten a chance to meet several other redoubters just in the last couple of weeks. Some are members of the American Redoubt Network, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and some who had never heard of it, but all redoubters, knowingly or unwittingly, for the same reasons. There are some forces at work here. I really believe that. And there are some of the neatest people you'd ever want to meet. Fiercely independent, strongly patriotic and God-fearing, self-sufficient, real men and women who carry guns, and who can milk a cow, butcher chickens and rabbits, operate a radio, fix a snowblower, sharpen a chainsaw, skin an elk, surf the internet, start a blog, become active in their communities and their churches, whip up a latte on a Coleman stove or slow brew a pot of cowboy coffee and drink it just as black as their weapons are, and cook an entire meal in Dutch ovens. They know history, and they know their Bibles. They've lost faith in their government, and their faith in their God has increased. They hate deception and love truth. They despise tyranny and oppression and embrace justice and virtue. They're patriots. They're American redoubters. They're my kind of people. And I know that redoubters at heart, patriots, can be found all across the country and in Canada. And actually across the globe, there are redoubters in law enforcement, emergency services, and in the military listening right now across the country and in Afghanistan, South Korea, Germany, Japan, Djibouti, Kuwait, and Yemen. People who are ready to uphold their oaths and others ready to join them and support them who've never worn a uniform, but are thankful for those who do. There are other conservative pockets that will become redoubts, or are already informal redoubts across America. Some of those will formalize as time goes on. I hear from you, all of you. The socialists and globalists, they're destroying America, but they can't destroy Americanism. Try as they might. As long as it lives in us, they can't destroy it. They have to destroy us to do it, and that's what they're planning. And you're not going to have a chance if you don't gather together with like-minded patriots. It's coming. Your only other option one day will be to comply and get on the cattle car or check you and your family into the government relief center. And I know that's not an option for you. It's not for me. Well, it's going to take patriots who are willing to start thinking about the after a collapse. The collapse that so many analysts are saying is on its way. All right. Enough doom. Remember, there are two sides of the American redoubt coin. There's the non-collapse, gradual changing of American landscape side. That's the one that says there's no collapse coming. We just want to preserve our American ideals as conservative, God-fearing Christian patriots. Or instead of saying there's no collapse coming, what if no collapse happens? We just want to preserve our American ideals. And we want to maintain our Judeo-Christian values and heritage. To do that, you have to be the majority demographic. That's where, just through sheer numbers, the elected representatives put into office who reflect the values of the majority of the people who voted them into those positions. That's where that happens. And that translates into the laws and customs of the state and those communities. In that region. From that, you get lower taxes, responsible government spending, a balanced budget, less government intrusion, and laws that reflect our values and our heritage. And our heritage is preserved in all our institutions, and education is decentralized, and our American Judeo-Christian values are passed on to our children in the schools, the churches, and in the local communities. That's how you get elected representatives who pass laws in your state that declare Obamacare is not applicable to the citizens of this state, or your federal firearm ban is null and void here, or your restriction on children praying to God is not only banned here, but the teachers will lead them in it and start the day with scripture right after opening in prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. That demographic shift, the majority is going to elect officials that's going to create an environment where we don't use our freedom as an excuse to do evil. It's a community, a state, and a region where God is feared over man, where he is the one the citizens place their faith and not the government. It's a place where the people love what God loves and are offended by what God is offended by and don't tolerate what God doesn't tolerate. The goal of the American Redoubt is to create an environment which encourages free enterprise while limiting government's role in the activities of the people and their businesses. It's sovereignty and self-rule without being forced to comply with the international globalist agendas and the policies and the treaties that undermine Americanism. All through sheer numbers, the trickle-up effect. You see, the leadership in the federal government does reflect the values of the American people. The same American people who've forgotten what it means to be American. They don't want Americanism. They hate Americanism. They despise it. But the American Redoubt is filling up with patriots who do know what it means to be an American. And they're voting for leadership who reflect those beliefs. Now, the other side of the American Redoubt coin, we also know what's in store for America if we don't change our ways. And we're not changing our ways as a nation. We're headed for a cliff, politically, socially, economically, spiritually, morally. If a collapse of those pillars happens, the nation collapses. We patriots need to be able to move fast to restore and rebuild. If we don't, after a collapse and order and community, if we don't, someone else will. And they may not have the same liberty-driven Americanism vision in mind as you and me. We'll need to rebuild commerce, communications, infrastructure, and leadership, and an economy quickly. We'll need to secure assets and resources from falling into the hands of future potential tyrants and future oppressive regimes. You can't do that without being able to communicate. Just one of the ways we plan to communicate is through AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. Any modern technological means of communications that's still functioning after the collapse will obviously be used. But we have to plan on it not being available, just in case. It could take days, weeks, months, and in some cases years before infrastructure or power is restored to many areas, depending on what type of event we're looking at. It depends on any number of different scenarios or a combination of influencing factors that could cause those disruptions in our infrastructure. One of the ways we plan on using communications is through digital messaging over radio. And after the break, what I'm going to talk about is specifically that. It's a mode of communicating called PSK31. It's used by ham operators, but you don't have to be a ham operator to receive digital radio messages. So don't tune out on me here. A lot of you are non-ham radio relays, and many of you just want to stay informed. You're just preppers that want to stay in the loop, but you're not a ham operator. Your shortwave radio receiver may be the only way you're receiving information in a down situation. And since so much of that information will be passed using digital modes like PSK31, we want you to know how to download the software for free, set it up, and begin using it by receiving digitalized radio transmissions sent as texts. Text messaging before there were cell phones. Pretty cool stuff. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about PSK31, digital communications, and T-Rex 2012, the readiness exercise that preppers, patriots, and redoubters across the country will be participating in August. More on that right after the break. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Radio Free Redoubt is a strong proponent of disaster preparedness and self-sufficient living. Although we touch on the topic from time to time, we're not a resource which specializes in those areas. However, among the hundreds of resources that are out there, we've come across some that we found to be particularly useful. You'll find some of those in a list of links about halfway down the page on the right at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com. In fact, they are the resources that we use. If you know of a resource that has been exceptionally useful to you and would like to see it added to our list of links, email the links to us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com.
In the midst of a major catastrophic event, such as a man-made or natural disaster, the ability to communicate can make the difference between life and death. Experience shows that oftentimes during disasters, conventional communications such as landlines and cell phone systems become overloaded and unreliable at best. More often, they become completely disrupted altogether and commonly for prolonged periods of time. Our nation's electronic communications infrastructure is second to none in leading technology, but the strength of that infrastructure is its weakness. It is very complex and therefore fragile and vulnerable to a number of different causes for disruption. Radio Free Redoubt is developing what we call CH3, or the Channel 3 Project. It is a standardized way for you to communicate with other people. So, in the event of an actual emergency, simply turn on any handheld personal communication radio, such as your CB radio, FRS, or GMRS radio, such as a typical Motorola talkabout, MERS radio, etc., and switch it to Channel 3. It's that simple. This standardization will increase the probability of you reaching somebody who may likely be monitoring the channel 3 on any one of those types of radios. It also increases the likelihood of you making contact with someone of like mind, which could make you safer. Of course, when making radio contact with someone you don't know, always proceed with caution. Learn more about the CH3 project by clicking the CH3 tab at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. In the Spokesman Review editorial section, I noticed a disturbing article entitled "Persecuted Church Should Know Better." The author claimed members of the Pilgrim Slavic Baptist Church, many of whom escaped from communist Russia in the 1980s, were persecuting homosexuals by merely holding signs outside of their downtown church building urging rejection of Referendum 71 and same-sex marriage. So let me get this straight. Christians are doing the persecuting by holding signs. The fact is, it's the Christians being persecuted. Many members of Pilgrim Slavic Church suffered firsthand for being Christians under communist rule in Russia. Some were jailed, tortured, had property destroyed, and were accosted just for being a Christian. So they came to the United States, the land of the free, or so they thought. The fact is, since the campaign to reject Referendum 71 started, those same refugees from communist tyranny have had rocks thrown through their windows, property stolen, and their children yelled at in the foulest language imaginable by members of the homosexual community. I spoke with their pastor, and he confirmed those reports. But it hasn't stopped there. The two leaders of the Referendum 71 effort, Larry Stickney and Gary Randall, have both received death threats. The fact is, everywhere same-sex marriage is implemented, the story is identical. Harassment, intimidation, and persecution of Christians follows. This has happened in Sweden, British Columbia, Alberta, New Jersey, New Mexico, and California, just to name a few. The message is clear: support homosexual behavior or suffer the consequences. The fact is, everywhere same-sex marriage has been allowed, it is used to justify the persecution of people of faith, and protecting religious liberty is just another benefit of rejecting R71. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
Thanks for sticking with us. If you're joining us late, right before the break, and after I went on another rant about Americanism, I was discussing communications and a specific component of radio communications, digital communications over radio. Well, we weren't really discussing it. I was just introducing it, and I'm going to go into that a little more in a little more detail here in just a bit. I got a letter from a guy in Texas that said he's been tasked with heading up the communications plan for the disaster preparedness program in his church. And he asked about area or regional nets. A net is short for network, a group of radio operators that meet at a scheduled time on a scheduled band or frequency. Now, we don't have regularly scheduled nets at this time. Amron is new. It's growing rapidly, but it's new. And Amron was put in place for like-minded patriots, preppers, and redoubters to have a means of staying connected in case of a real-world emergency situation. And I mean a major catastrophic event, what we call Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it. What the listener was referring to was one of our more popular articles written by Popeye titled "Communications Between Groups." We do have some individual core members of Amron who are communicating with each other over ham radio on frequencies that they work out between themselves by emailing each other. But we don't have a regularly scheduled radio net at this time. But we're working on it. And if you are a ham operator or Amron operator, you want to be part of that testing, testing the system and different modes across back and forth across the country, then let me know, and I will pass you along to Popeye, who can coordinate with you and get you connected with the other Amron operators that are communicating. Now, in the article, Popeye illustrates how hams can communicate across the country and then how radio operators can communicate information across regions and smaller areas and communities. making it possible for information to be shared from one community or even an individual across a region or even across the country. Now, from the article, one could get the impression that Popeye was referring to communications nets that already are in place. Those don't exist. In fact, that's one of the next steps in the plan, is to begin developing nets across the American Redoubt and across the continent. Also, the plan incorporates non-ham radio operators as well. Most Patriots, Preppers, and Redoubters are not ham operators. So when critical information's flowing, they're generally left out of the loop. Until now, with AMRON. Because AMRON ties the ham and non-ham operator together so that everyone is informed. Because most of the information is going to be riding on the airwaves that's done by ham operators. Now, in an area where a ham operator doesn't exist, you might have a relay. The relay is a radio operator and is an important part of the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, but isn't a ham operator. The relays strive toward getting themselves set up with communications equipment to be able to receive information put out by hams, say, for example, on a shortwave radio receiver with SSB, or single sideband capability. When message traffic is received by a relay, they then turn, pick up their CB radio or their MERS or their FRS, or may alternate between any combination of those, whatever they have, and retransmit the message throughout their local area. Depending on their location and conditions, environmental conditions and everything, a relay can retransmit information or a message several miles throughout their community. It's really great for small, close-knit communities or small towns. Well, one of the ways to communicate is using digital communications. So let's talk about that. There are several different types of digital communications that you can use over radio. Some of you old school radio operators, or if you remember from your Army days, the RTTY, or radio teletype. It was like faxing a short text message over radio that printed out on a roll of paper, like a fax machine. Now, things have come a long way since then, but there's a close cousin to RTTY, radio teletype, that's still used today and is popular. Today, we're talking about PSK-31, which stands for phase shift keying, which transmits an annoying warbling whistle type sound at a bandwidth of 31.25 hertz, hence the 31 in the PSK-31. It sounds just like this. Now, I'll just read what Wikipedia has to say about it. A PSK-31 operator typically uses a single sideband, did you catch that, transceiver connected to the sound card of a PC computer running PSK-31 software. When the operator enters a message for transmission, the software produces an audio tone which sounds to the human ear like a continuous whistle with a slight warble. Hey, that's what I just said. This is then fed through either a microphone jack using an intermediate resistor, okay, enough of that technical, or an auxiliary connection into the transceiver where it's transmitted. Now, from the perspective of the transmitter, this amounts to little more than somebody whistling into the microphone. However, the software rapidly shifts the phase of the audio signal between two states, hence the name phase shift keying, forming the character codes. These phase shifts serve the same function as the two tones used in traditional RTTY and similar systems. To decode PSK-31, the received audio whistle from the transceiver's headphone output is fed into the sound card's audio input, and the software decodes it. The software also includes a user interface on the PC, which is used to display the decoded text and manage the software configuration. All right. So, it decodes it off your computer's sound card. That's how it transmits, too. Now, the software is simple to use once you get the hang of it. And it's free. If it's faux free, it's faux me, right? Okay, the two most popular software programs are HRD, which is Ham Radio Deluxe, and FL Digi. I have both and have experimented with both. I personally keep gravitating to the FL Digi. I don't know why, but now I pretty much use it exclusively just because I'm more familiar with it. So people swear by both. Well, here's the best part. You do not have to be a ham operator to make use of this software. You can just plug one end of a double-ended earphone cable from the headphone jack on your shortwave radio, as long as it's capable of receiving single sideband, and plug the other end into your microphone in jack on your computer. If you don't have a shortwave radio yet, no problem. You don't even need a radio to begin exploring with it. The first time I used it, I just went to YouTube and typed in PSK31. Several videos came up showing the waterfall screens with PSK31 data coming down and the audio streaming away. It's annoying to listen to, but I just opened up my FL Digi program, took my double-ended audio cable that I bought from Radio Shack, plugged one into the microphone jack on my computer, and the other end right back into the microphone in jack, taking the sound from YouTube and piping it into the FL Digi software that I had opened. I clicked on a stream on the waterfall, and voila, I began watching conversations taking place between ham operators. Is that cool or what? And remember, this is from a video recording someone did of their computer. It captured the audio. So you could just record the audio file, play it back through your computer, and the program reads it. It doesn't have to be live because it's all decoded using your sound card. All you need is the audio tone from the radio transmission. Now, there are some things you want to know about. First, you'll want to experiment with the audio settings to choose the right microphone, whether it's an external mic or the integrated mic, depending on what you're using. And you have to change that setting up at the top when you click on options and then scroll down to audio options and change that. Now, stay with me. This isn't difficult at all. If I can do it, anyone can do it, really. I'm including the links for downloading both the FL Digi and HRD, and I'll have that on the highlights and resources posting for today's show, episode 1224, for those of you listening in your car or on CD or whatever. The other thing I'm including is a posting from the forum that was posted by Tango02. He did a great job working with me to test the system and get things working right to make sure it works. But he posted some links to YouTube where a guy did a video explaining FL Digi, all the in and outs of how to use it. Once you download it, you'll want to practice. Well, he provided a resource for that too. Tango02 did. So you can start experimenting with it right away. It's a website called websdr.org. And that website has numerous HF shortwave bands streaming live over the internet that you can listen to. Just open your HRD or FL Digi software, click on one of the sites listed at the websdr.org website, and start experimenting. You'll be decoding PSK31 traffic before you know it. There'll be little tweaks and adjustments that you'll need to do, but you'll find out quickly that those people who don't want to practice now and who just plan on hooking up their grandpa's old ham radio after TO Talkie and start communicating with people, their plans are going to lead to a lot of disappointment. You got to practice now. You got to play with it. You got to become familiarized with your equipment. So for you relays or any prepper, patriot, redoubter, if you want to stay in the loop, you need to have digital mode capabilities or you'll be missing out. Most long-range HF communications won't be done using voice. It'll be done using digital and CW, which is Morse code. Why? Because you can send a message a lot farther, a lot more intact, with a fraction of the power, even using a less than optimum antenna. Digital just outperforms. It's like pushing a sewing needle versus a Phillips screwdriver through a rubber ball. Digital uses much less bandwidth and power, by far, than voice uses. And in a TO Talkie situation, power consumption or the power conservation will be a really, really big deal. That's why so many of the Amron operators will be using it. And when they do, they can transmit a lot farther. So if all you have is a shortwave receiver with a single sideband and a laptop, you'll be getting information others won't be getting, which is another reason why I want to really encourage you Amron relays to get hooked up. Several hams will be using it during T-Rex 2012. One other thing, FL Digi also decodes CW, or Morse code. Along the top of the program are several tabs. The second one over is labeled Op Mode. Click on that, and right at the top is CW. That's Morse code. If you look down further, you'll see PSK. That's the one that you want to select for locating and clicking on BPSK31. That's how you run the PSK31. Then select the frequency from the open mouth of the open menu icon. I put up a screenshot with arrows so you know what icon I'm talking about. Just scroll down until you see the frequency 7030 BPSK31. The frequency 7030 is what you want to look for. That'll tell the program, the FL Digi program, what band to be watching for and monitoring, which is the band that I recorded the audio file in. And stay tuned, because right after the broadcast, I'll be putting out a PSK31 message. And I'll include that in the podcast file that I'll be uploading tonight. So anytime during the week, you'll be able to go back and listen to it. If you open that message, you'll know what to do. I'll be waiting to hear from you when you get it decoded. And there is a message there. It works. I know it works because I tested it and I sent the audio file to Tango 02 and he opened it up. And he got it Lima Charlie, loud and clear. So if you're not getting it to decode, keep trying. You will get it. You just have to experiment with it. And that's how you get proficient. That YouTube video should really help you get up and running. Now, next week, I'll be covering CW, Morse code. I'll give you some resources that'll be helpful. You don't have to know Morse code, and I'll explain all that. Also next week, I'll be talking a lot more about T-Rex 2012, some of the mechanics of how that's going to work. You don't have to get too spun up about that right now as far as how's it all going to work, what do I do? All you have to do is start preparing you, your family, and your equipment to practice your personal or your family or group stuff hits the fan plan. Whether you're bugging out or digging in, activating your retreat group, locking yourself in your subterranean shelter, it's your plan. You practice it. And hundreds or thousands of other preppers and redoubters will be implementing their own plans at the same time. So lots more to come on that. And this week, finally, we'll have the revised Amron communications plan out. I'll be emailing that to all the members of the American Redoubt Network this week. I know I said I'd have it out a couple weeks ago, but, well, sometimes you need to do, if you need something done, you just have to do it yourself, right? Okay, I got to let you go for now. Thanks so much for all your prayers, letters of encouragement, and all your support. Talking about encouragement, just knowing you guys are all out there and that I'm not alone, and I'm not crazy, that's an encouragement to me. We got a plan, boys and girls. It's coming along. So there's hope in all this hopelessness. Just never forget that Christ is our true hope. Please, you have to hold on to that. All right, right after the show, after your secret PSK31 message, we'll be airing another exciting episode of Old Time Radio's classic series, Cloak and Dagger. Harrowing reenacted missions of the OSS behind enemy lines during World War II. Stories of espionage, resistance, and the fight against evil and tyranny. Lots of fun. Then right after that, we'll be re-airing the episode you just heard in case you missed any of it. Don't forget also, for those of you with iTunes accounts, that you can have each Radio Free Redoubt's episodes automatically downloaded to your iTunes on your computer each time we upload a show. So you can listen to it on the go and on your iPhones. Hey, thanks so much for spreading the word to all your like-minded friends and family about the American Redoubt movement and for sharing Radio Free Redoubt with other patriots. May the Lord go with you and bless all that you set your hand to. Have a great week. And until we meet again next Sunday night, same place, same time, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.